The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller. It is Friday, the fifth day of January 2017. And I'm supposed to have Clint Richardson here, and he's a no-show. So I wanted to play this. It's next to interviewing Ammon Bundy, Kelly Stewart, which has been all over, the Mal Heuer thing, the trial, and all of that. The question is Trump a friend or a foe? And you'll hear in the conversation what's going on with the prosecution and the Department of Justice. This thing is getting weirder and weirder. And some of the information that Ammon Bundy puts out starts to go into the United Nations, designated areas and whatnot. And the Mac Daddy of all the questions here is, whose land is it anyway? Here's Kelly Stewart talking with Ammon Bundy.
Well, it's actually been pretty good, mostly because I've been able to spend some time with my family. As many may know, my family lives in Idaho, and I cannot leave Clark County, Nevada, so I can't go home. And so I'm not a free man and by any stretch of the imagination, but it has been really wonderful to spend time with Lisa and my children. We had a good Christmas. We went to the ranch, and anyway, it's been good. And it, even though I'm not free, it beats being inside the prison, and also definitely beats being inside in the hole. Beats being in the hole. Mm-hmm. So,
that's right. How much time did I'm you grateful. Spend? Do you remember how many days it was total that you spent in solitary this last year?
Yeah, it was just a little over 4.5 months.
4.5 months living in complete solitude. That's absolutely egregious.
Yeah, there was some, some weeks where I hadn't talked to anybody for several days. And so when I was able to get on the phone with Lisa, my voice was hoarse because I hadn't used it. And they just keep you in there and feed you through a little door in the, yep. Our little port in the door. And you spend a lot of time alone and a lot of time thinking and a lot of time reading, a lot of time praying. We made it so far.
Yep.
And anyway, I guess what doesn't break you only makes you stronger, right?
Yep, that's right. Yeah, thinking about the voice side, I remember reading about individuals who actually came out of solitary confinement with vision loss because the muscles didn't have to look past, 4 or 5 feet every day, and they atrophied and died, and it actually resulted in long-term damage to their eyes. It's just amazing what it does to your body to be locked away from fresh air, human contact, the ability to look, and the ability to speak outside of those four walls. That sacrifice is great, and we know what you went through and what your brother and many others went through, and we are, as a community of supporters, we are grateful for how principled you guys have remained and how dead set you guys have been on speaking the truth. And so thank you from our entire community, Ammon. Thank you for what you suffered through and just the example that you and people like Lavoy Finicum have been to many of us on the outside that before what you guys did, you know, made headlines, many of us didn't know how to stand. And so thank you for that. But we'll move in because I know you're tired and you don't want this to be super long. We have the breaking news that came out in the last 2 days that people have been talking about online, Ammon, is that this Dale Eliason has taken on this role of the new interim district attorney of Nevada. And so a lot of speculations have come from that. And so I know you just kind of wanted to set the record straight. So what do you want to say about the new appointment she's received and what that means possibly for Steve Myrie?
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't want to come off to people like I'm the authority on the matter or anything, but there are some facts and some conclusions that I think we need to have straight, you know, because it could be damaging, especially if we are under the impression that something has happened that really hasn't. And that is, you know, specifically about Steve Myrie, you know, U.S. Attorney Steve Myrie, because he's been, the last year, has been the acting attorney, which is basically a temporary position. He has filled the position of U.S. Attorney, but he has not been appointed to that position. He's only filled it because he was basically the second man in charge when Bogdan was fired by the Trump administration, or he left, and so he became Myrie became the acting U.S. attorney, but never was appointed, or never officially was the U.S. attorney.
It was just an interim position.
What happened here just a few days ago was that the Trump administration, through Sessions, appointed a new U.S. attorney. And I think she is still, what they're saying is an interim, which is interesting, but I don't really want to go into that. Okay. But she was placed as the U.S. attorney for the Nevada District by the Trump administration. And Myrie was not demoted. He basically was only the acting U.S. attorney, and as soon as that position became filled, which it was, he now is just doing what he was doing before.
Okay. And so he still holds his original job.
So, go ahead, I'm sorry.
He still holds the job he had prior to this last year?
Absolutely. He's still, I think there's a term for it, and I could probably grab it real quick, but anyway, basically he's still like,
I think it's like assistant
or assistant U.S. attorney.
Yeah.
Because that's one thing to remember, too, and for everybody to understand is there's only one U.S. attorney for the Nevada District. The rest are AUSAs, which is assistant U.S. attorneys. Okay? And Myrie has always been an AUSA. He's never been the U.S. attorney for the Nevada District. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does.
Okay, so Myrie just went back to being the first U.S. assistant attorney for the Nevada District.
Okay.
And now this Dale, or however you say her name, she is now the U.S. attorney for the Nevada District.
Okay.
So and she was appointed, I just want to be very clear, she was appointed or placed there by the Trump administration through Jeff Sessions.
Okay. So this change, Ammon, had nothing to do with any of the prosecutorial misconduct or Brady violations or anything that was going on with your case. Isn't that correct?
No, I'm not saying that at all.
Okay.
I mean, the timing is very, could be very telling.
Okay.
You know, that basically they no longer, you know, that they basically decided to fill that position.
Okay.
But technically, Myrie has not been demoted. He just wasn't promoted. He wasn't promoted to the position of the acting U.S. attorney for the Nevada District. And he also was not demoted as well.
Okay.
Now, you know, some might say, well, he didn't get that position, and yet he was the acting U.S. attorney. But that happens all the time. So
when...
Another thing go ahead.
I was just going to say, when would we know if this position change had anything to do with your case? What would be some things we can look for with what's coming up on the 8th that would tell us if we're receiving any favor or not within the Trump administration? If you said this new woman who's been put in place, Dale, she was appointed by Trump. So now if this case moves forward, will that have to be with or without her blessing? Will she be somebody who could stop this?
Yeah, to answer that, so first of all, on Monday, on the 8th, there'll be a hearing about whether the court, Judge Navarro, is going to declare this mistrial with prejudice or without. And if it's with, that means double jeopardy attaches and the case has been dismissed, technically. If it's without prejudice, then that means the court, you know, Judge Navarro has decided that we can be retried. And that means the decision to retry us is up to the U.S. attorney of the for the Nevada District, which is this Dell, you know, how do you say her last name?
Eliason.
I don't have it in front of me.
I think it's pronounced Eliason.
Eliason, yeah, Dale or Eliason, that's correct, E-L-I-E-S-O-N. So if they choose, if Navarro rules that with prejudice, or excuse me, yes, and we are tried, or where we are eligible to be retried, then that means it's up to this U.S. attorney, Dale Eliason. And if she decides to try us, then that is very telling of whether the Trump administration is our friend or not, of whether Trump, President Trump, is a friend of the people or whether he's a nationalist. And so, you know, that, I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If Navarro decides to allow us to be retried, and the U.S. prosecutors, now under the Trump administration, under the appointee of Trump, decides to retry us, then there is unequivocally no room for dispute whether Trump is our friend or not.
Okay, so even though that this is a decision that the judge gets to make, you're saying if they move forward that ultimately this interim district attorney has the right to trump that, we'll call it trumping that, and she has the right to say, no, not on my watch, we're not retrying them, even if the judge and the prosecution wants to move forward?
Yeah, if I understood you right, at first I was going to say no to your question, but If Judge Navarro decides to move forward with a trial, it becomes the decision of the U.S. Attorney's Office of whether they're going to retry us or not.
Okay.
If they retry us under that circumstance, then we will know that President Trump is not our friend.
Okay.
And that he's not the people's president. That he is, you know, what I have worried about is that he is a nationalist. Now, I'm not saying he is. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, in my mind, the jury's out.
Yeah.
I want to believe that he is for us. There's a lot of evidence that he is for the people. And if he is, I am extremely grateful and fully support him. But there's a lot of things that have gone on that have made me concerned. And I could give you a few of those things. One is that I have received personally, my family has received more tyranny and more suffering under the Trump administration than we did as far as being prosecuted than we did under the Obama administration.
Wow. Do you want to elaborate?
That at all? Look at all that has happened in the last year.
So as far as
the trials go.
Because all that happened
every single
on
trial
Trump's
that
watch.
We've been in this case has been under the Trump administration.
Okay. So even though the charges were brought prior to his administration, all of the injustices that have gone on in that courtroom have happened basically on Trump's watch.
Yeah, and so you say, well, but it was all Obama's, staff and so forth. Mm-hmm. But that's not true either, because Myrie became the acting U.S. attorney, and Myrie is, and Sheets, I don't know about Nadi Ahmed, but they are Republicans.
Okay.
And they are basically a part of the Republican Party, and it's a very political position that they're in, and yet we have seen no relief whatsoever at all. In fact, we've seen just a continuing miscarriage of justice under both administrations, and nothing really has changed when it comes to relieving the suffering of families and of people that did only what they should do under the circumstances that were given them when their rights were being trampled and threatened. And so the jury's out. Also, under the Trump administration, well, let me back up. Right before Obama left office, literally 22 days, I believe it was, he designated the entire Bundy Ranch as a national monument, the Gold Butte National Monument,
right,
which was a complete and open, spiteful, unconstitutional act from a president of the United States.
Right.
And he was doing it, obviously. I mean, if you look at the boundaries of that national monument, and then you look at the boundaries of the Bundy Ranch, it's hard to dispute that it wasn't intentional to be spiteful because of our stand.
Yeah.
However, then Obama leaves, President Trump comes in, and there was some action about it, but up to this point, there has been nothing that has been done about the Gold Butte National Monument. And I can't remember his name, I apologize, I forgot the Interior, the Department of Interior Director.
Zinke.
Yes. He actually came out to the area of Gold Butte and never met with my family, never inquired, never spoke. But yet he went out to Gold Butte and met with the Friends, what's called the organization called the Friends of Gold Butte, and including the people from the Center for, I must be tired. Center for Biological Diversity. Karan Suckling.
Yeah.
And he meets with them at a Gold Butte, and they were the very people that did a friendly lawsuit with the BLM, and the BLM used that as justification to come after my family. And so why would he meet and fraternize with them and totally drive right past the Bundy home when my mother is there all alone with all her sons, or most of her sons and her husband, sitting in a federal prison?
Yeah, that does put it in a different light. I didn't realize that he had a meeting with Kieran and the Center for Biodiversity.
Yeah, and the Friends of Gold Butte, which they're basically all the same organization. And they have been a driving force that has caused my family and the other 52 ranchers in the Clark County, Southern Nevada area, a tremendous amount of pain and suffering. And like I said, all those other ranchers are gone because of these actions. And yet, we see our current administration basically buoying those people up, supporting them, and giving, you know, not even a little glance to our family and to the others that have been suffering. So, and I'm not saying this as, you know, poor me or my poor family. I'm not saying that. I'm wanting to show the facts so we can draw true and honest conclusions.
Yeah.
And there may be a lot of people out there that want to drink the Trump Kool-Aid. And to be honest with you, I want to drink it.
Yeah.
But I don't drink Kool-Aid unless the facts show that it's worth drinking.
Right.
And right now, the jury's out, literally, because we have a way to know for sure whether Trump is a people's president or whether he's a nationalist.
Yeah.
And that is, if Navarro decides to allow this trial to go on and the U.S. attorneys continue to prosecute and want to try us again, we will know without doubt that Trump is not our friend.
Yep, everything has been made very clear to them. And, you know, we remember when Sessions came to Nevada and he made the statement to the media that he was congratulating the prosecution for the way that they have handled the case. And while that was before a lot of the atrocities have been released about Dan Love and Steve Myrie, that still showed that that everything that was happening multiple trials into this was happening on their watch. And even if it was ignorance and they just didn't know it was happening, it was still happening on their watch. So we are going to be praying diligently, and we're going to ask all our viewers to be praying for these, all of these different officials that are involved in this, that have the ability to make some of these wrongs somewhat right.
I want to thank Carol Asher for sending that over to me. That interview was done yesterday, so that's hot off what they say the press is. This gets weirder and stranger. Jeff Sessions in there. Biodiversity stuff, direct connection to UN. You had a non-governmental organizations involved, Friends of Gold Butte National Monument, which they are for all intents and purposes, the liaison here for the Center for Biodiversity. They wanted that property one way or another. Jeff Sessions, I don't know where this character, he just went after the states for the marijuana laws that they have. He doesn't like them, and he's going after the states. We're still waiting, Mr. Sessions. We're still waiting for the Justice Department to do their job, either give an affirmative that there's a smell coming from the Trump organization that needs further sniffing, or put an end to this. This guy has acted in ways I'd never seen an attorney general act, recusing himself from this whole Russia collusion deal, which they're pretty much, it all points back to the Democrats. But we got Mueller in there still doing his thing. Comey should be in jail right now. Comey evidently was the leaks on a lot of classified information. So we have the leaker. None of these characters could walk straight if they had a gun pointed to their head. So you have Jeff Sessions congratulating Steve Myrie on the wonderful job he's doing with the Bundy case. And we saw how that turned out. The thing stinks from one end to the other. Who the hell is this guy? Who in the hell is Jeff Sessions? I'm coming. And by the way, my cryptic message, Wisconsin looks too grand. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. Made my day. Clint Richardson, are you there, sir?
I am indeed.
Well, how art thou?
Shorter of breath and one day closer to death.
So that's what you've been doing with your time off, listening to Pink Floyd.
That's right.
I heard you, as a matter of fact, I very rarely have the opportunity to listen to talk show hosts in their entire shows. And I discovered two things. You were on Deanna Spingola's program, and outside of my little area, I get charged for data. So I was listening to the network instead of through the call-in lines. I went directly to the website and listened live, and I was charged data time. But it was worth it. It was very interesting, the exchange that you had with Deanna. On the two, and this is what stood out about that interview, is we got one tribe in this country that says that the Constitution and the forefathers and all this stuff, they were just commercial-type wranglers, and they knew exactly what they were doing and how they set up the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and all that other stuff. Now, the other camp says that, wait a minute, we did have a Constitution at one time, and that's been subverted through commercial law. What's your viewpoint on this? Because I want to get your take on this, Mr. Richardson, because this is important. People have a tendency to get these things confused. Are we a republic? Are we a democracy? Are we transformed? Republic into this democracy, or have they been running two parallel governments?
Well, sort of both camps are correct. The problem is they're not joining their information together. It's kind of like religion, you know. Each religion has a couple of facts, right? Most of it's just complete BS, right? So what you find is that, first of all, the I have a Masonic Bible here, and it's very clear about the Masonic, George Washington is the most celebrated Freemason in America. His apron hangs proudly. You can read all about all of that stuff, the Founding Fathers, who they were. They were deists. And they did create the United States as...
Wait a minute, Clint. I've heard that argument before that they were deists, and I've seen a lot of writings, even by people like the aforementioned Washington, and where he stood on the religious front. And I wouldn't consider him to be a deist.
Yeah, we take... let me explain my disposition before we go any further.
Okay.
I don't look at the romantic version of things. I don't look at the personal writings of some of these guys. I don't look at a lot of that type of thing, because the only history that is true is the history that was written down as law, because that's the only thing that truly, truly affects us. Now, we could sit here until we're blue in the face. We could talk about the Founding Fathers, who they were, what they were. But the truth of the matter is we need to look at exactly what happened from that point and before it until basically around 1933, when all of this just got totally out of hand. So the only thing I can offer, and people don't like to hear this a lot, is I always side with, if you will, the government, because A slave cannot know anything about his master unless he knows both the language and the intent of his master. And once you learn the intent and the purpose of your master's designs, then you can no longer be enslaved by it. So that's my whole theory. So as I was listening to your Bundy Ranch presentation, I was calling BS on just about everything he said. If you want to know the truth about the Bundy Ranch incident, the verifiable truth, then I can provide that for you and show that Bundy had no right to do what he did in any way, shape, or form.
Wow.
And people don't like to hear that because they're stuck in the romanticism, the patriotism, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They don't want to hear the truth.
Okay, but coming from which position? The government position? Or whose land is this anyway? Because the way I understand this, Clint, was that we had a bunch of land out there, and it was called territories. And
Who had the land?
The federal government held it in trust.
There it is. Who purchased the land?
Okay, now hold on. And let me, Clint, you know me. I'll give you enough time to verify or hang yourself or do whatever. Quit laughing in there, Mike. At any rate, the land itself was to be held by the federal government in trust. That land was to be turned back over to the people when there was statehood.
That is not true.
That is not. Well, most of my readings and studies says that it is.
Well, then I invite you to read the state constitution for Nevada.
And which constitution was this?
What do you mean, which constitution?
Well, and I don't know the timeline, but every state had a constitution, and they were kind of rewritten, I think, 1849 or something?
Sure, and that's part of the history. That's part of the alteration. You have to understand that after the Civil War, or during or before the Civil War, Congress was basically, for all intents and purposes, the United States was dead at that point because there was an abandonment of Congress. What Lincoln did for the Civil War, a Civil War which, by the way, never ended, was never declared to have an end or a treaty of peace. You have to understand that we're still under that same executive order system that we were under that martial law system first declared by Lincoln. So okay. There was no war because the United States, the Union, which was the sole purpose, which was to save the quote-unquote corporation or union, the whole purpose was to enfranchise all the slaves into the United States. Thus, you have the 13th and 14th Amendment. Right. So you give slaves freedom. Freedom in legalese means franchise. Okay, so you leave that open for everybody else to join the United States as voluntary subjects or slaves, voluntary slavery. See, voluntary slavery is alive and well. The United States is essentially a feudal system by contract. And you asked about the Republic. Yeah, a Republic is not a thing that you can really put a measurement on. You're either living in it or you're not. You're either following the law, the private law of the state, or you're a United States citizen, which means you're a foreigner in every state that you reside in. See, this is what we don't realize, is that a United States citizen in all cases is a foreigner in any state where we reside. The state is a third party, the United States is the principal, and we're acting in agency in a commercial vessel, and we do interstate commerce in wherever we are residing. It's not our domicile. Our domicile is the United States. This is how we were tricked out of the republics, which were the states, the lands of the states, the territory, as you say, and we were put into a nationality. There is a massive difference between having a nationality and being a part of a territory, or what the territory is created into, a state, and no longer called a territory.
Yeah, because if it was under the aegis or the guidance or the control of the United States government, then we wouldn't have state constitutions for each one of these states, would we?
Well, you would. The problem is nobody reads their state constitution, because I love it, because the state, let me read you, just so we're clear, let me read you the state constitution of Nevada, just so we have an understanding of what the purpose of each state is. All right, purpose of government. This is section 2, I just pulled this up on the website, okay? Purpose of government, section 2. Paramount allegiance to the United States. All political power is inherent in the people. government is instituted for the protection, security, and benefit of the people, and they have the right either to reform the same whenever the public good may require it. Okay, and now that's the romantic part. Everybody stops there. They don't keep reading. But, it says, the paramount allegiance of every citizen is due to the federal government and the exercise of all its constitutional powers, as the same have been or may be defined by the Supreme Court of the United States, and no power exists in the people of this or any other state of the federal union to dissolve their connection therewith or perform any act tending to impair, subvert, resist, or resist the supreme authority of the government of the United States. The Constitution of the United States confers full power on the federal government to maintain and perpetuate its existence. And whenever and whensoever any portion of the states or people thereof attempt to secede from the federal union or forcibly resist the execution of its laws, the federal government may, by warrant of the Constitution, employ armed force in compelling obedience to its authority. Now, you take that, and most people hilariously would say, well, gee, that sounds unconstitutional, doesn't it? And yet that's right out of the state constitution. Now, by that statement, does it sound like states have rights that are separate from the United States? If the state constitution recognizes the supreme authority of the United States in every way possible, do you think that there is some state sovereignty thing that they have limited sovereignty. They have sovereignty over their own subjects. But we're United States citizens, most of us. The private people of the state, they go by this, but we're not the people. See, that's the big fallacy, John. We're simply not the people of the states. We're the people of the United States. We're commoners, goyim. This is why all these states, this is why the Bundy Ranch, a corporation of the United States, on federal land, and he even said they made a national monument of it, which means necessarily that it was already federal land. And let me read you the next part, which, you know, we have to go even further. You have to go back to the Nevada constitutional, the enabling acts, because who creates the state? Congress and the president create the state. People don't create it. They write up the Constitution and they agree to certain terms. The term, Section 4 of the Enabling Act, which is also in the Constitution of Nevada and every other, especially the western states, authorization to form a constitution and state government. What are the limitations? The third limitation says that the people inhabiting said territory do agree and declare that they forever disclaim all right and title to the appropriated public lands lying within said territory, and that the same shall be and remain at the sole and entire disposition of the United States, and that the lands belonging to citizens of the United States, etc., etc., etc. So here again, this is also in the Nevada and other state constitutions. The people have forever disclaim all right and title to the unappropriated public lands. In other words, wherever those private people who initiated this constitution to turn a United States territory into a state,
okay,
still owned by the United States, it never wasn't territory of the United States. It still is. They just call it a state. That private land is under the private law of the state of Nevada or whatever state. But everybody else is on public lands. We're on a giant monopoly board controlled by the United States where everywhere we step is public land.
Having said what you said then, it should have been a slam dunk for the state's attorney general, the judge in this, particularly the Malheur case, dealing with these renegades. Because, as you just explained, it's under the federal purview. It's constitutional even by state. Obviously, it's okay with the Fed. You were doing stuff on that land that we didn't give you permission. They could, and they've gone through two trials now. And Clint, let me finish this thought out, because this is an important point. From your explanation of this, if this is true and factual, this should have been a slam dunk. Millions of dollars shouldn't have been spent. Juries shouldn't have had to have been excused. Evidence should have been placed in the court. Look, this is where everything lies, and this is the jurisdictions, and it's slam dunk, and you're guilty, you're going to jail. Why didn't that happen?
Well, for the simple reason that most people believe, including the guy you just heard on the interview, what did he say? He said, I am the people. He said, I am the people of Nevada. This is Nevada land. It's not U.S. land. The United States is not going to come out when everybody in the in their whole, all their slaves, all their citizenships believe that we are the people, even though we're their slaves, even though we're enfranchised, like a rat has freedom in a cage, we have freedom within the jurisdiction of the United States, the public lands. It's not going to come out and tell everybody that they're slaves. It's not going to come out and tell everybody. It's going to go through this whole process. It's going to be a romantic, patriotic. It's going to feed the alternative media. It's going to feed the mainstream media. It's going to make everybody argue. But no one's ever going to talk about the truth. No one's going to go to the Constitution and actually read it. No one's actually going to talk about the truth. Because here's the truth. Bundy said that he does not recognize the police power over the land that belongs to the sovereign state of Nevada. Well, that's ridiculous. Bundy accumulated more than $1 million in unpaid grazing fees.
No, he didn't.
And court-ordered fines.
No, he didn't.
Well,
no.
That's what he's going to say.
No, that's what's been proven by their own documentation. He only owed $8,000. He didn't owe millions in grazing fees. See, that's another aspect of this case that he's charged with. Well, you know, he defaulted and he broke his terms of agreement. He didn't pay these outrageous. You know, have you ever seen that land out there, Clint? It's nothing but scrub brush. In order to feed cattle on that land, you got to have many, many miles because the greenery is very, very sparse.
Sure.
So,
and you're absolutely right that this is a land grab. Okay, there's no doubt about that. The another aspect of Nevada is that the people of Nevada voted to get their states, the lands back. Right, so if you go to the state constitution for Nevada, and you go to the ordinance section, which is the very first part, you're going to find two versions of the constitution. One, which is exactly what I just read. Another, which is the amended version, which the people of Nevada actually voted for in 1993. They actually voted to return all state lands from the federal government. Keep in mind, federal lands in Nevada are like 83% of
right.
the whole state.
Okay, finish out that thought.
So the people of Nevada, which we think we're the people, we're not, they all got together, they voted in a state election, which has nothing to do with the federal, right? And they voted to get all the state lands back. That went to where? It went to Congress. Well, Congress said, well, okay, we're just going to sit on this and not do anything. The Constitution has been sitting like this in a state of basically duality. The effective part says, yes, the disclaimer of public land still stands because, hey, Congress doesn't have to give up its right. Just because the people of the state, the commoners, the U.S. citizens of Nevada have voted to return state lands to the state does not mean that the United States Congress has to do it. That's a state election. It means absolutely nothing to the federal government. We don't vote. We just kind of, you know, we give our opinion and they may... This proves it, that the vote doesn't count, because since 1993, the lands of Nevada have stayed in Congress. All right, it says, the amendment was passed, I gotta find it here.
I'll tell you what, you look for it, let me bring up a caller here. Okay. John in Michigan. Hello, John.
Hello, John. Your guest has some interesting information that Ralph Winterowd has talked about before, too.
Okay.
Is regards to the jurisdiction. And the Buck Act is what Ralph says gives them all of this so-called right over everything. And if you do research on the Buck Act, it pretty much exposes that. And also, Ralph always states that you should become a citizen of your state,
yes,
by going down and registering with the bureau, whichever one in your county handles that. And Ralph has a
Wait a minute, back up. Register how?
Well, Ralph has all that information.
No. I understand that. But by registering, you're registering for something. What is that something?
For your state citizenship, not your United States citizenship.
Okay. You're
registering in your state as a citizen of the state, and that takes you away from that grab that your guest has been talking about, that
So if people were to do this within their own states, declare that they're a citizen of their own state, they turn around and get a driver's license, one of the questions asked, are you a U.S. citizen? So you're right back in the same trick bag.
No driver's license needed for private citizens. Private citizens of any state under the Equal Footing Clause can drive in or travel in any state without a license.
Well, I'm going to be arguing with every cop from Austin to Albuquerque.
Well, so why was Bundy not able to do what he intended? He has, you know, he's the right idea, the whole concept of the people, but he's not the people. That's the problem. He thinks he is. This is all of our problems. We have been, through the birth certificate process, we've been put into a nationality. Washington, D.C. is a foreign territory. It's a foreign country. It's like an offshore corporation. It's a holding corporation.
Basically, that's what it is.
Right. So we're not in any state. So every state we go to is interstate commerce. Therefore, we need license to do anything from that third party, which is the state. We're foreigners. And until you get this through your head, everybody listening, until you get it through your head that our inheritance has been taken from us. And I don't agree necessarily with the caller's notion of registering yourself, because from what I understand, the United States citizenship is something, it's an addition. So in other words, you're born naturally as a state citizen, and you get a disability or a dis-ease put onto you, which is this United States citizenship. And it's basically you're either able to self-govern under the private law of the state, or you need to be governed by this giant federal agency, and that's the way it works in every country.
Well, and John, hang on here a second. Another point I want to make. What difference between the state government and the federal government is there if it's all commercial?
Well, that's just that seems to be the hard thing to figure out anymore, is because, you know, the Civil War was a war that basically went in and conquered all the states. You read the declarations by the president declaring the end of the military siege, and you find the same type of language that we just read, which is, you know, hey, Texas, for instance, you know, go read the proclamation that ended the war or the military occupation, and it says you're totally defeated. If you get out of line again, we're going to come in and kick your butt again. Right, so I mean, we're a totally defeated country, and the problem is our participation in the United States, the whole military. These people that are joining the military, they should be militia. The militia would be against that federal agency, not for it. You wouldn't see that. That's the difference between. There's no, okay, I'm going to say this. You're not going to like it. There's no honor in being in a standing army. The main complaint of the king was that there was a standing army in the United States. We now have a different king. It's called the people, the corporation of the people, and has a standing army to protect the states and federal territories from us. It's the same thing. It's just the king has been turned into this magical god called the people. All right. And that's Congress.
John, anything else?
Well, I may have used the term, or the maybe didn't get the complete thought out as what Ralph was talking about, but he said he did give out information and has information. Have you ever met Ralph Winterroth?
I'm sure Ralph has a lot of very good stuff. I have heard some of his stuff before. It's just that you have to realize that when, you know, you have a natural state or what the state considers natural, and then you have a disease or a disability put on you, which is citizenship to that foreign entity. That's what takes you out. And that's what makes you unable to inherit land. This is, you know, the Bundys don't own any land. You don't own your home. You don't own your car. You don't own anything, because a foreigner cannot own land in the territory that he's residing in. If you're from the United States, Washington, D.C., a foreign thing, you cannot be the holder and disposer of land. And therefore, it doesn't matter what you believe.
So what,
it doesn't matter what your patriotic opinion is.
Okay.
You're a United States citizen. You go by United States law, and you believe what the United States tells you to believe. That's it. That's how it works. I'm not saying it's right.
That's the story of the Buck Act. It starts out with saying how the federal government deceitfully gets jurisdiction over you and everything you own.
Absolutely, so the Buck Act,
and that's
is
what
very Ralph important.
Talked about. Yep, and also Act, you have the Act.
Wait a minute, I can't have two talking.
Sorry.
Finish your thought, John.
Yes, I will. You also have the Act of 1871, correct? When the Rothschilds came in and incorporated the country.
Well, it's a long and arduous process of the incorporation, but the seat of government was actually transferred to Washington, D.C., I believe, in the village of 1801 or something. I mean, it was an early thing. It happened right away. So my opinion is that, yes, the founding fathers knew exactly what they were doing, and almost immediately the judicial branch was destroyed. The Judicial Act of 1790, I believe it was created. And right now, the whole judicial doesn't exist for us. We're all administrated by, we're an administrative law, international law, and right. The judicial doesn't exist for us. There is no judicial. Right. Everything's in the executive, so we're executively run.
Okay, so what is the federal government so afraid of? Is this why they're willing and able to destroy people, kill people outright, steal their stuff to hide this big secret?
Well, yeah, because what is peace? John, you know, when we say peace, you know how Orwell said war is peace and freedom is slavery? These are all true statements when you actually realize... Peace, what is peace but free-flowing commerce? What happens that causes a war? An interruption in commerce.
All right, hang on. I've got to take this break. I skipped the last two. We got to make up those ads.
Thank you, John.
You're welcome, John. Thank you very much for your call. Clint Richardson's with us on this Friday. And what state are we in right now? Apparently the state of confusion.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Well, the magic's fun.
All right, we're back. Clint, just during the break, I discovered the reason why Mikey was giggling back here. It's because he knows a guy in Austin that has registered, Mike, am I getting this right? Registered with the state of his citizenry. Notice, okay, put his notice into the state.
Okay.
And they have gone after him. How, Mike? Open up your mic, Mike. It's real hard to do.
Yeah, I mean, he filed with the Secretary of State as a sovereign, you know? Like, straight up, he's got the license plates that are, you know, UCC and all that stuff. He can do that because he's actually put in the paperwork. He's not one of these U.S. citizens that's trying to go after the bonds and, you know, talk about the oaths of office. He said he just went to court, like, a week ago and was...
On what issue?
I know. Just some kind of maybe a ticket or something. And okay. He just went straight at him with the, y'all are satanic, here's the legal proof, and that they were just like, get out of here. You know, he does that.
Wow. Okay.
Well, this kind of behavior is, it's not that it's accepted in court, it's that usually they'll dismiss the case because, again, they don't want other people hearing this. I went to a traffic court, and they played a video, and they said, you hereby agree to give up all rights, constitutional rights and other rights by being in this court, because it's not a real court, it's an administrative court, a private court that the judge owns, right? It's a business, it's not a real court. So they're getting this. You're calling them a fraud because and it's working because they are a fraud. But the problem that this guy's going to have in every case is that they're okay. And this is hard for people because this is again a religious belief of the quote unquote patriot movement. It's one of those patriot mythologies.
Okay, now Clint, before you proceed, there would be one argument. I won't argue with what you're saying, it's just how you're saying it. And it sounds like a slap in the face to people that thought themselves to be patriotic and going in the right direction, and you sound like you're slanting them.
Well, I kind of am.
Well, yeah, you kind of are. That's why I'm kind of saying this.
It's no different than you slamming down religious people, because it's foolishness, because the Bible and religion have nothing to do with each other. The Constitution and the law of the United States have nothing to do with patriotism. Okay, what is patriotism? You break down that word, Pat Riot. What is a Pat Riot? A controlled opposition. That's what patriotism means. Pat Riot. A riot that does not do anything because it's staying pat. It's controlled. Controlled riot opposition. That's all it is. You believe that you're the people and therefore you refrain from doing anything. But you think that you're something you're not. That's what patriotism is. It's Stockholm Syndrome. I'm sorry. I said... I only want to know the truth. I don't want to know. I don't want you to have my opinion. I don't want to.
Well, I can understand and appreciate your point and all of your research and all of your readings and all of your writings. But if I want somebody to listen to me, the first thing I'm not going to do is walk up to them and punch them right in their nose and say, "Now, are you ready to listen to me?" And I've been doing this for a long time, Clint, and I know what information is and to relay that information and to have open discussion about it. But when you take a position like that and you just jam it right in somebody's face, I mean, if I first met you and I didn't say a word to you and I walked up to you and punched you in your nose, what would you do?
Well, how is that a punch in the nose to say what patriotism means?
Well, no, I understand your position. I understand what you're saying. There's falsehoods. But the people have been let in for a lot of bad news over the years.
Samuel Janssen said, "Patriotism is the last refuge of a scoundrel." So there, let Samuel Janssen say it.
All right, hold on a second. We got to take top of the hour break. Clint Richardson has been nice enough to put out his private work here, the strawmanstory.info. This is the entire book for free. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Everybody hang on. We'll take your phone calls as well at 313-9443.
Any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.